Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And have too many Memphis kids, and maybe there is a number, but Penny's been more like Cal in the sense that he's done it both locally and nationally. Like this needs to be said. This idea that he's got a roster full of Memphis kids and he's relying too heavily on Memphis is ridiculous. Look at the player Lester Quinones has come from. Where'd Lester from? Right? You go out into the portal.
Correct.
You go get a DeAndre Williams. You go get a Timberlake. Many of your most important players. We talked about how important Alex Lomax was to this team last year and sort of, you know, balancing things out, even in a disappointing season. But many of your key players, not from Memphis.
Yep.
You know, this isn't a throwback to the old days where it's an entire roster of Memphis kids. And if you had a down year from a cyclical standpoint of talent in Memphis, oh, you were in trouble because your coach couldn't reach out and go touch guys nationally all over the country.
Correct.
This is a different situation, more like Cal in that mid to end of his tenure, where you get the Memphis kids, but you also get some national kids. In this instance, some of Penny's most important players, I mean, Landers Nolly, like some of these most important guys, and I realize those were on the transfer market, but even recruiting, we've seen it. Again, Lester Quinones,
yep,
a product of that, haven't been Memphis kids. And so you're not relying so heavily on Memphis. Again, you get in a position where that's all you can get. That's a different story where I think you can get too reliant. Because again, what happens if you got a down year in Memphis talent? Penny's not been in that boat, at least here in the first 3-4 years of his tenure. You know, he's recruiting both sides, which ideally,
right,
is the best way to work it here with this program.
Well, and like another point I would make on the Memphis kid thing, it is nice to get the Precious Achiuas. It is nice to get, you know, your Lester Quinoneses. But I would really more focus on Precious. It's hard historically for Memphis to get that kid, right? It's very difficult. It doesn't happen that much.
Depends on who the coach is. There's only been a select few that could do that.
But when you think about Memphis's greatest moments, when you think about when this program was at its peak, two out of the three times that roster was filled with Memphis talent.
Sure.
And so historically, that's the way things are done. Only one time in the history of the program, in its long, illustrious history, has it been done primarily with guys not from Memphis, and it was John Calipari. You know, no other time did it work without Memphis kids. It's just the way it is. Tubby didn't get any Memphis kids. Tubby's ass got fired in 2 years. And don't you dare tell me that was not a huge part of it. Not just that he wasn't winning enough, but it was that he had lost total connection to the city, right?
He said Memphis kids didn't want to play for Memphis.
Yeah. And don't you dare tell me that wasn't a huge factor in terms of the way.
He walked that back. He came back
home
with us and walked that back. I will say that.
It matters.
But it lets you know sort of, wait a minute, he doesn't get it. This may be a bad fit because, yes, they still do grow up one. Look at Tyler Harris as the example of that. And Tubby got on him late. But dude's coming back and possibly as a walk-on. Like, he grew up wanting to be a Tiger so much so that, you know, when his dad and a lot of others were telling him go somewhere else, the kid wanted to come back to Memphis. He had an option. Go transfer somewhere else from Iowa State, Jacksonville or something like that, where, you know, you go down to that level, you're going to get more of an opportunity. More importantly, you're going to be on scholarship. No, man, want to come back to Memphis.
Right.
Like, when they lose, Tyler Harris crying after missing,
yep,
shots or whatever. You know, we've seen those situations. These kids, don't tell me Alo doesn't care.
Yes.
And again, all of them, you still grow. And that was the issue more so with Tubby than even not getting them.
For sure.
Was that you don't think they even want to be,
exactly,
there, so you're not going to put in the time or the effort.
Yes.
Like, and again, to his credit, he sort of started to figure that out. By that time, it was too late.
Yeah.
By that time, it was too late.
This is a community program. I mean, it just is. Even if you didn't go to Memphis, you know, if you live in town, you wanted to do well. And so it, you know, what the way that you recruit and the kind of players that you go after, you know, it matters to this community. They want Memphis kids, the best Memphis kids, to go to Memphis. It's just true. And when that doesn't happen, you know, yeah, I think very quickly this city can fall out of love. Again, this is not to say or suggest that it is a perfect process. Yeah, it is hard. We've seen it. Joe Jackson, Tariq Black, et cetera, et cetera. Alex Lomax even to a degree. When the Memphis kids that do stay home don't perform to the level that people expect, it can get ugly, right? Austin, like, it can
be tough for.
But it, you know, that's life.
Because of the way we cover the program, going back to that initial point.
That's life. That's the way it goes in big-time college basketball. There's things that are great about it, and there's things that are, you know, that make it difficult. And that's true in any fact of life. But it was a very interesting piece. You got some more do you want to get to?
Well, here? I'm just saying, remember, and key to this thing, we told you it was sort of a ranking. They've got Memphis in a tier by itself in tier one, just in terms of, we're talking about the enticements and things you have to sell as a program in the AAC.
Yep.
They got Houston and Cincinnati in tier two. So you're a clear cut above the rest, at least according to the national perspective and Borzello's article here. And I think we all certainly feel the same way, but you know the other thing that does. We're talking about all the good stuff, right? Maybe a potential drawback. But when you can recruit like this, we didn't even – was the practice facility even mentioned, John?
No.
They got a practice facility that you put up with some NBA. We've had
the
NBA guys on.
The White House.
Lori Walmsley. We
it's
call it
ridiculous.
The White House here. Nobody's even talked about that to this point. But you know what comes with all that is greater expectations.
No question.
And so to get back to the point, and it always goes back to that because even Penny's going around saying it, you have to be able to turn that into fulfilled expectations. You have to be able to make tournaments, to win AAC titles. That's the other thing. That's what caught Josh, okay? When you recruit to such a high level that all of a sudden you're underperforming because you've got that much talent. And that's the key here, is that you've got all this built-in, you know, advantages, all that. Got Penny Hardaway, a different kind of recruiter, no question, and one that's clearly been effective. But it's a double-edged sword. Because why? Because that expectations, they're tier one level two.
Yep.
And frankly, they should be. They've remained that way, and they should always be that way because of the built-in advantages. You got to win. You got to make tournaments. Nobody, I mean, Penny knows that. And going into year four here, just like he says, it's time to get over the hump. That's how you put the bow on that.
Yeah, so it is actually a very fascinating piece. And once again, like you said, a reminder of what Memphis is supposed to be doing here, what they're supposed to
100%.
Be achieving, you know, on the court here. Bringing it up the rear, East Carolina and Tulane.
Well, the problem, and they talk about it at the beginning, Borzello talks about it, is the bottom of your league.
Oh, it's awful.
You know?
And there's no way
it has not gotten better, man.
And there's no way it does. I mean, it's never going to change. It's never going to change. The bottom of your league is always going to be bad. What you really have to make sure of is that you're the top of it.
Tulane and East Carolina, I would bring up the rear.
Like the only
Rom's going to do. It's early still for Rom.
It is, but it's still Tulane.
I ain't asking him to get him to the top.
Yeah,
get him off that bottom.
The only thing that Mike Oresko can hope for his league is that Memphis, Houston, Cincinnati, Wichita State, SMU, and maybe to an extent Temple, all get to the tournament.
It hurt losing UConn. Let's just face
it. It did because I mean the top of your league now is it's a little weaker. It just is. I think you can reasonably expect Memphis to get there. I think you can reasonably expect Houston, obviously, to get there. You can reasonably expect Cincinnati to get there with this new guy Wes Miller. And Wichita State got there all the time with Greg Marshall. So I think there's four for you.
Does Frank have a lifetime contract at Tulsa or what? As long as he keeps beating Memphis, he's good. Is that how?
That saves his ass every year,
it's man. Because he did nothing else last season.
It's the annual save your ass Frank Haith game. You know, can you beat Memphis? All right, come on back.
Well, it's time to get that turnaround immediately.
That piece is up at ESPN.com. Good stuff there about Memphis hoops. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Nikola Jokic, as you said, becomes the lowest drafted player in the history of the NBA to be named MVP. A Taco Bell ad was running when he was selected. We'll talk about the playoffs from last night. Yep. Lots more to come on the other side. And an update on our Memphis friend. Our Memphis friend in Jeopardy. Yeah, Berlinda. So we'll get into all that when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every day at this time, we like to do a little thing we call the Rundown. Let's run on in.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
My Atlanta Hawks. I got a lot of teams now that the Grizzlies are out. I got Phoenix on one side. I got a Futures on the Nets. And I love talking Atlanta Hawks basketball because John just continues to hate. Don't you, John? Just admit.
You can't
this
come
is
in here
all,
today and
this
talk
is
about the
all,
Hawks.
I realize they lost, but all of your hate for them is just rooted in the fact that you said Trae Young would not be a good NBA player.
Yeah.
Let's get down to the brass tacks.
Well, and also the fact that Dan Wolken acts like the Atlanta Hawks or the Golden State Warriors. Okay?
Also, he adds on.
Yes.
You being wrong about Trae and then Dan saying, we got a real team here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That really triggers you.
Yeah, because look at the comment he wrote today. He wrote a comment about the game last night, and all that man wanted to do talk about how hard the Hawks play. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I told you there are many Utah.
Very many. Like, you know, I can't say that word anymore in 2021. Midget. Midget.
I'm going to forget that you said that.
Yeah, they're the small person Jazz.
Everybody needs a Bogdanovich. Do you agree?
Yes, I would love
Utah's
it.
Utah's got one. Atlanta's
would,
got one.
I would they, love to
they,
have him
they
in
They all
Memphis.
Work pretty well. You know what I'm saying? Atlanta did lose. I'm talking a lot about Atlanta. It's 1-1 now. But we said it yesterday. They were supposed to. If Philly had lost yesterday, and look, that game, that was a two-point game at halftime. It was a close game until the end of the third. Shake Milton hits that long three, kind of stretches their lead out, and then 76ers took over in the fourth, outscored them by 9, 27-18, held the Hawks to 18 points in the fourth quarter. You do that by holding Trae Young to 6 of 16. He was 1 of 7 from 3, only finished with 21 points, which for him in these playoffs, pretty pedestrian. Did have 11 assists. I know. Jason, you act like Atlanta won. Well, it is 1-1. In this series. Remember, this is the 5 seed. Not a ton of people gave them a chance to beat the Knicks, who were the 4 seed. They ran through the Knicks. Now they picked up the first win in Philadelphia. You go back to Atlanta, 1-1. Trae Young excited about that. The key to this story for me and continues to be the play of Joel Embiid, because before this season, before this series, the news had come out that he's got a meniscus tear, you know, cost him a game at Washington. Not two games, did it not? Or the majority of two games
yes.
in Washington,
yes, exactly.
They still go on, still win the series. But you're looking at this and saying, well, wait a minute. If he's got a tear in his meniscus, you know, you go out there and you play him. Well, what happens if he goes too hard on this thing? Could it affect him next season? Is this something that's going to be able to just be repaired with rehab that he can't injure any worse? Is he going to need surgery if you keep playing on it? The dude is playing like the meniscus is not torn. All right, 40 points, 13 rebounds last night. This is one game after having 39. John's right. He was right to open the show this way. I said Embiid can't be any better than he was in game one, so what are the 76ers going to do? And 39 in game one, he comes back with 40 and 13. The dude has been an absolute stud. He's pushing Capella around, and if that's the Embiid that you're going to get all series long, Atlanta ain't winning. I thought Atlanta had a chance, again, if you're getting a Embiid that's a shell of himself, whether he's 70, 80%, whatever else, you need full-on Embiid, who was number two, by the way, in the MVP voting, had a fantastic season. And like, I can't remember who put it this way. Maybe it was Max Kellerman this morning. He ain't Joel Embiid anymore. You know, the guy that was all worried about getting a date with Rihanna or trolling or, you know, on Twitter or social media. This is a grown man now who's playing like a guy who's not injured.
Right.
And frankly, if it continues like this, it won't matter that the thing is headed back to Atlanta if Joel Embiid continues to play like this, because even with Clint Capella, they've got nothing that can stand in the way of Joel Embiid.
That's right.
I hate to say it, but you were right that Philly could get more out of him, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Not what you're going to be wrong on is this series ain't going five. And I can't wait to throw it back in your face.
Thank you. Yeah, I said.
This Fulio said four. He said the Philly, the 76ers are going to go back to Atlanta, win both there, and then close it out in game five. That ain't happening. You got to give Trey one in Atlanta.
Yes, it is. I mean, you said.
What did you say? You said he had T-Rex arms.
I
keep taking this back to what you said about him at the draft.
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, and you blew it.
This week, you said Joel Embiid cannot be better.
It was 1 point better, fool.
So you say he's not Joel Embiid? He did troll you, man. 1 point better.
He ain't studding me, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, he should be. He should be. You're going big time.
Joel's all he cares about is Memphis basketball. I don't care about Jason.
He wants
to cover assistant coaches.
That's what he said. He's conspiring with Gary.
That is how Joel Embiid sounds.
And Laird Veach.
That is.
So he doesn't give a damn about me.
What's the end game there, man? What the tag team of GP and Laird? What's the end game?
I don't know, man. It's a powerful tandem.
It is. It is.
It truly is.
There will be no more media coverage of this program.
Moving on, John says the series is over. It's not over yet. Atlanta and Philly tied 1-1 with that thing headed back to Atlanta. The nightcap, probably more interesting, especially here in Memphis as members of the Western Conference that we are here in this town. The Jazz beat the Clippers 112-109. Donovan Mitchell was outstanding, went off for 45 points. And Rudy Gobert got a big block late. John talked about how great Rudy was going to be offensively. Well, that didn't happen. See how I'm throwing this stuff back in your face today? Like it?
Yeah.
Even though that your pick essentially got the win. 112-109.
They did get the win, bro. They did get the win.
You know what it looked like to me? It looked like Kawhi was a little tired.
Well, that's what Donovan Mitchell said.
After going seven with Luka in Dallas, only having a day off in between, looked to me like he was a little tired, and I give him a pass for that. Be nice if Paul George could step up in something other than the fourth quarter. He was back to playoff P, doing his thing. Again, Paul George, man, 4 of 17 last night. 4 of 17.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a superstar?
Not when playoffs
start. That dude ain't even Donovan Mitchell. And all we've been saying is, Donovan Mitchell's not a star yet. He's not a star yet. Utah doesn't have a real star. They just got a good team. Bull crap, they don't have a real star. This dude had 57 in the playoffs last year against Denver, one of the highest scoring performances we've seen in a loss. That was in a loss.
Yep.
But 57, now he's coming back and he's killing, coming back from this ankle injury that kept him out for the majority of the last month of the season. He is fantastic, man. And it's usually not just him jacking. He's getting teammates involved, like we said, and that ball is constantly moving around with Utah.
Yep.
They didn't need a fantastic Gobert offensively. Rudy only had 10 points.
Yeah.
But like I said, he had the big block late.
Yes, he did.
Also had 12 rebounds to go with it. And, of course, the Jazz, after a slow start, shot it better as the game went on.
Yep.
They finished with 17 3-pointers, which is right about their average.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell basically said, they had him mic'd up. He said they to your point about, tired.
That he's tired.
He said they played a game 7 2 days ago. It's all how we start this quarter.
Yep.
They'll call it quits and get ready for game 2 if we make them. Well, they made them. They had
after opening up ice cold from the field.
Yes,
I
they were
6
and 24 from
looked
the three.
Like the Clippers going
to
run off.
Yeah. But the Jazz, man, I mean, you got to respect two things. You got to respect the Jazz and you got to respect the 76ers.
Respect.
That's what you got to start doing.
Not yet. I mean,
I'm not sure what it is with you.
I appreciate the drop from Brad, but it's not
I'm not sure what it is with you and the one seeds, but you got a little bit of a complex going on right now.
Oh, it's just pointing out when you're wrong on these NBA games, and I want to do that. Didn't you say Grizzlies, Utah going 7?
Yes.
You like Kendrick Perkins on these NBA series picks.
No.
I'm just going to say
nobody's been worse than Kendrick. Nobody
he jumps has. In a little too
he
got, early.
Max called him out for it today. He didn't like it. He just kept staring at the camera like a bulldog. Max can't get under his skin.
Yeah, no, it's
he says, "Is Memphis still playing, Kendrick?"
Kendrick
didn't even respond because he was in Stephen A's spot.
Kendrick got carried away. That's totally okay, though. That's totally fair.
Well, he forgot about this guy named Donovan Mitchell.
That dude is he's slaying these dudes.
You said it's going seven. I wouldn't go more than six at that.
I didn't say they're
going
to. No,
you got carried
Kendrick
away.
Kendrick said they're going to win the series.
I realized that, but I'm saying.
I said it would go seven. I thought it would.
You forgot about how good Donovan Mitchell is.
I thought the Grizzlies would win one game at home because I was going to be in attendance. That's what I thought. That's what I believed. They didn't do it. They didn't go seven.
Oh,
because
of you, they were going to win.
It didn't. I mean, in the end.
Well, if they'd seen your TikTok, maybe they would have. Well, and how the production that went into that thing.
It was, I mean, I'm telling you, the budget was big.
Potentially award-winning if somebody had seen it.
It got 26 likes. That's pretty good.
Bro, you got to up your Instagram game.
It's not Instagram.
TikTok game.
It's the algorithm. The algorithm is very, it's a very evasive algorithm. It's hard to understand. I don't even understand it. But like I said.
Give us some big take on Utah Clippers. Tell us who's. Tell us how many games this series is going to go.
Because that's the thing. It's like, if I get it right, we're going to just coast on past
that
it.
Not true.
And if I get it wrong.
You get your little pat on the butt when you're right all the time around here.
Maybe on this show. I'll give you that. That's fair. But look, I think the 76ers, as long as Joel Embiid is healthy, are going to win this series.
Yeah,
I think it will end in five.
Jazz. What about Clippers Jazz?
I like the Jazz in this series. I just do. I don't know if it'll be. It won't be five. I mean, the Clippers will be hurt.
Give me a number.
I'll say the Jazz in six. Jazz in six.
I tell you what, it didn't. I went into yesterday saying that the Clippers should be the favorite right now in the West if you were sort of reseeding just because they got a two-time MVP. Yeah, I know it was tough against Dallas, but you get on through. And nobody else has got the experience that you've got, like a Kawhi Leonard. Yesterday made me stop and think a little bit that maybe we've all been underestimating how good this Utah team is when it's got a healthy Donovan Mitchell, all those shooters around him, and one of the best, if not the best, defensive presence in the game, and Rudy Gobert. They do not get the flowers of a one seed.
Agreed.
I'm guilty of that,
but
I don't think my man Kawhi is done. Lord knows they lost the first two in Staples. We're all saying, man, Dallas about to win this series.
Yes.
Hell, they were down 3-2 at that point. Counted L.A. out. I'm not going to do it again.
That's where I was going with this because, like, I was just listening to you guys talk about this game. And I watched the game last night. But after it, I told myself, I said, I think it goes seven. Because I think so, too. The Clippers, they just turn – like those last two games against the Mavericks, they just turn it on. And they are – like Paul George
– going to go 4 of 17? I guess this is playoff Paul, but he's got to be better than that,
He's got to
be
better.
And no, Kawhi will be better. He was worn out.
Well, look, if Mike Conley appears
in this series – he only had 23. Kawhi.
If Mike Conley plays in this series, the Jazz are absolutely going to win it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I think Mike Conley. I mean, Mike Conley's going to give you 15 a game.
Again, hamstring issue for Mike Conley. Those have been big issues. So I don't know that you.
No, I mean, that's fair.
You get Mike Conley from series against the Grizzlies. From that series,
right.
You might not be getting the same Mike Conley.
I agree with that, but you don't need that Mike. Mike was killing the Grizzlies. He was going 7-10.
Don't act like they were in the game there. It took a block at the end for it. Now that the
I'm just saying though, like clearly you don't need Mike Conley to beat the Clippers
in the series.
They just won game one.
By three, I just told you that.
Yeah, but they shot so bad in the first half. You know, I mean.
You think LeBron James is the best.
I don't think it's about Kawhi, Jason.
Kawhi went 23-7. Yes, don't tell me he can't be better. He had 40-something game six against Dallas.
Yeah, but.
The guy had one day of rest after dispatching the Dallas Mavericks and having
a whole
Luka on one end.
What does he have? What does Kawhi have?
He got playoff P.
He got some boo-boo. He got some Marcus Morris, some Batum, who's 5 years past his prime.
They do not have a center.
I mean, it's a huge problem.
Yeah, Gobert still only had 10, though, to your Rudy going to go off.
I know, but he's not going to have 50.
You essentially have Morris playing center.
You do. You 100% have Morris playing center.
That's the problem because Zubac, man.
And he had 3 rebounds last night.
Zubac had 11-6, but he can't stop, you know. He's not an inside presence.
And how many times in this series,
most 7-footers are.
How many more times in this series is Kennard going to give you 18 or more? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, so
Luke been getting an opportunity again, going out there and burying shots.
Terrence Mann had 2 points last night.
You're not getting playoff Rondo either.
I mean, Rondo going to do what he does, 5, 6, and 5?
Oh, it was better than that for the Lakers. He was more of a factor for the Lakers last year.
He's playing with the greatest player on the planet. That helps.
Not anymore.
That helps, man. You're right. He's not playing for
him
anymore.
You talking about Toon Squad, dude?
Yeah, Toon Squad, dude. You might want to check on those LeBron 19s that we just had yesterday.
Somebody said he need AD to win anything.
I ain't going to lie to you. Like, this is very deserving of the Lakers. That's all, folks. That's very deserving. That's what people should have done. That's what people should have done in response to his appearance versus the Suns. Porky Pig. He's a Looney Tune, right?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Of course he is.
Okay, yeah.
That's a bow and a wrap on last night's action. Tonight you got Nuggets Suns at 8:30. That game's going to be on TNT. Phoenix, a 5-point favorite. Last I looked, love the way that Phoenix looked in that first game. Love these Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker, we'll talk about the real MVP of this thing. And, you make a case Chris Paul was top five and voted in MVP race and all that kind of stuff. But the play of DeAndre Ayton,
mm-hmm.
this dude, his coming of age,
yep.
sort of. Young guy that was feeling his way through here these first couple of years, he has become dominant. And look, he's going up against the MVP and Nikola Jokic. And likely when we look back on this series, whatever happens, we're not going to be able to say that DeAndre outplayed Jokic. But I'll be damned if he ain't going toe-to-toe with him. And that's essentially, what you're getting from, he is not getting outclassed here. And it's been DeAndre Ayton key, along with Chris Paul, Devin Booker. I love Bridges. I love sort of the youth they've got there with Bridges and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. This is a well-put-together team, clearly well-coached by my man Monty Williams, who John hated on 10 years ago.
I mean, yeah,
was clearly
I'm sorry,
wrong.
Man.
I'm going back and getting all your
he
old,
grew. He
old
grew take, like Josh
cold
Passer.
Takes exposed.
He grew like Josh Passer.
We're doing it all today. These Suns tonight, they get a win tonight, they stay in control. Thing is, you can't underestimate Denver and what the MVP Nikola Jokic can do. We saw them. They've been shorthanded all year long, haven't had Jamal. Will Barton's been out. Hopefully Will Barton's going to be back pretty soon. We watch him closely here mm-hmm. in Memphis. But frankly, it feels like the Suns against Nikola Jokic. But Nikola's been that good this year that he can still make this a series. Even if the Suns win, this thing ain't over going back to Denver, even if they're down 2-0. So I'm not counting out the Nuggets, but, man, I like the way Phoenix is playing. Love the way Phoenix is playing.
Next story.
Unfortunately, our good Memphis friend Verlinda Johnson-Henning's run on Jeopardy has come to an end.
She won.
She was the only contestant. She was the only contestant to get Final Jeopardy right both days.
Correct.
Which is, that's very impressive. Jeopardy is a hard-ass game. I do not enjoy Jeopardy because it is very difficult.
They give you a whole category that you don't know a damn thing about, so you're just out.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I feel like
out for a whole row.
It's hard to really gauge the degree of difficulty because you're at home.
Renaissance painters.
You don't have to press
dead.
The button, right? You don't have to be first to press the button. You don't have to worry about, losing money when you guess. I think the Jeopardy is actually a much harder game than people probably believe it is.
I'm going to tell you how low IQ I am. Growing up on Jeopardy, every time it came on, I was looking for a sports category.
Yeah, well, I think that's...
Because that's the only area of quote-unquote expertise I felt like I had. Everything else was going to be above my head. So I've always been. My dad was a big trivia guy. Used to go down to Kudzu's downtown. They had big-time trivia down there. And it's never been my cup of tea. I only got one area. Always looking for that sports category on Jeopardy and anything else. Like I said, painters, all that stuff. You want to get in the world of arts, film and history.
Mm-hmm.
Brother. I'd have been last on that thing. You'd notice that's why I didn't say Jeopardy would be one of my dreams to be on.
No doubt.
I would lose.
Yeah, so
it's
believe.
Tough. You got to be well-rounded. You
yes,
know what I'm saying?
Yes, you do.
In the trivia world.
I believe she is taking home $19,500.
Now, you got to pay taxes on that or what?
Oh, of course. Yes.
So that knocks it down quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, and that's going to be 30%.
And then, she had to pay to go out there. I felt like Jeopardy.
She had to pay?
You didn't know that?
Jeopardy doesn't pay?
No.
Oh, dog.
So take that out of the winnings.
Well,
okay.
What's that? What is it in L.A.?
She'll get to 10 grand maybe.
I'm assuming so. I have no idea where it's at.
Okay, so let's just say she spent, let's just say the flight out there was 800, right? Let's say the round trip, 800. And, you got to stay in a hotel, so let's say that's $100 a night. You're out there for, 4 days. I don't know, 2 days, 3 days. Let's say three days.
3 days.
Okay, so that's 300 and change. So we'll just run that up to 400. So you're in for 1,200 plus. You got
over 1,000.
So do they give you a per diem when you're there?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
They don't give you nothing?
Two grand flying around LA, West Coast. You're staying. It's 2 grand.
That's a substantial part of your winnings there.
I mean, not
taxes.
Really. I mean, if I gave you, if I get, if
after
I said,
taxes,
bro, like he's. Bro, if I gave
$10,000
$2,000 to win, but it's taxed though, right? Like it's, what I'm saying. Like
so I'm saying that's where you're going to get to 10.
But it's still technically
I'm talking about what's in my bank account.
What did I get
off that 19?
Okay, fine. If it's $10,000 ultimately is the profit, bro, that is so worth it. $10,000 just to go answer questions.
I'm not saying it's not
worth
it, but it's like it's a huge chunk.
Right.
You tell a kid you're
greedy, man.
With $19K, it ain't $19K, is it?
How much should it have been? How much would have made it 100% not even thinking about the cost?
No, I'm just saying it's my whole point. My point of this is it sucks. You got to pay your way out.
I agree with that. I think that's
Jeopardy, big time show, been around forever.
Yeah, I guess because people want to be on it that badly that they don't have to pay.
I mean, once she had to test to get on it, then she had to do in person tests, and you figure once you get through the test, the least they can do is reward you with the trip out there to the studio show.
I agree with that.
Because you've passed the bar, sort of say. And so, I mean, that part of it, either way, doesn't matter. We're happy for V. We all feel like we know her. We all feel like we're relatives of her because she's on every social media platform. And like I said, she's uplifting everybody else all the dang time. So it was so much fun to see a whole city behind her in terms of being named Jeopardy champion. And, yeah, man, sadly, even after answering final Jeopardy questions, she couldn't make it 2 days in a row.
Yeah, she said it was a rush to know that I had a chance. The biggest thing to me was I wanted to represent the city well, and I think I did that.
See?
I know I had a lot of people
pulling
for
Memphis treasure.
And that means a lot.
Y'all should follow her. She's at VLJH, if I'm not mistaken. I've followed her for a long time, ever since I was Tiger Beat Writer.
Yeah. But she's taking home, you know, not taking
so supportive
home.
Of all
she won $19,500. Yes, tax man gonna get his.
Well, you know, I had to ask that question. I'm always in folks' pockets.
But see, $10K though, that like for two, three days of work. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I take it all day long.
Yeah, you're
saying it ain't 19.
You can do a lot of stuff with $10,000. You know, you can
go buy a used car.
Can you anymore? Can you get a used car for? You might be able to get a 1994 Toyota.
It's probably have 80 to 100,000 miles on it, probably, huh?
Man, at least. Yeah. You know, maybe a bargain.
Well, I mean,
used cars are at an all-time high,
right? You only shop Audi right now.
Yeah.
Man, is it just me, or does it feel like everybody and their mama in Memphis has got drive-out tags right now?
Everybody does have drive-out tags
right now. I'm on 240, and all I see is folks in cars they just bought.
Well, because
it's the income tax return, and it's the stimuli? Is that what we're talking about here?
Stimuli.
You like that?
Yeah. Are people still living off stimuli?
Bro, I'm just seeing cars everywhere,
unemployment,
people,
right?
People who have old, raggedy, paid-for cars, this is the kind of thing they see out on the highway, is other folks who just bought new cars. Because people in raggedy cars dream about buying a new car quite a bit while they're driving, and so I can't take my eyes off these new drive-out tags. Bro, everybody, y'all were talking about how, you know, and yes, parts of Memphis, yes, incredibly poor. There's no question about it. Folks are buying cars right now all over Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody on 240 got a new car.
They can't keep cars on the lot right now because, you know, yeah, people are buying cars like crazy. Like, I wondered.
What is happening? How do we explain the phenomenon?
I think you talked about it. Like, if you know, you get the unemployment benefits that are enhanced right now, so people have a little
usually
bit more
you
money.
See a lot of it around tax return time, and I guess this is tax return time for a lot of people.
Yeah, also,
but I'm literally telling you feel like half the city got new cars.
Also, if you have a kid now, you're gonna get you could get up to $300 a month from Uncle Joe because of this child care tax credit.
I feel like people been stacking.
Well, yeah, savings are at an all-time high, I think, in this
country.
That's
what it is. People have been stacking their money.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing, you know, consumer prices. You know, that's why, you know.
Talking about you can't get a used car for $8,000 to $10,000. Come on, man.
It ain't going to be the one you only
shop Audi, fool.
It used to be you could get a nice-ass used car for $8,000 to $10,000.
My dad used to get a used car for $500 off of summer.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
We'll drive that thing around for $300. Chevy Citation told you about. We'll drive that thing around for $3 years.
You might be able to get a Chevy Citation for $8,000.
I bought a Geo Storm in college. It wasn't so long ago, John. $600.
Dude, you can't buy anything.
Somebody hit me at RP Tracks, bagging out. They wrote me a note, said, ish happens, here's my insurance number. Man, I called them folks, got $900 out of it. I bought the car for $600.
Now, what year?
Those were the years.
What year did you buy the Geostorm?
Oh, I was ashamed of it. I was ashamed. It was good to get around. I was coming off security guard, getting back into Memphis, so it had to be like 98, 99.
All right, so 1998. $600.
Joker didn't have air. You know
all right,
what I'm saying?
So today, $600 in those terms would be $983.
That's not much of an improvement there. It doesn't get me a used
inflation,
car.
Inflation adjusted.
I told you it was turquoise, so it stuck out like a sore thumb. But you're driving around the Memphis campus, no honeys wanted to jump in the car with you because you're in a Geo Storm that's turquoise.
Why do you always buy the most raggedy cars?
I had raggedy money back then. It was what I could afford to get me through school.
Explain the Mazda.
The Mazda I bought brand new, clown. What are you talking about? I bought that off the freaking lot. It's the only time I've ever bought a new car.
But why did you buy a Mazda, though?
Unused before.
You know what I'm saying?
My man was out there, Lee X, selling cars at that time.
What kind of Mazda is it?
6, fool. I bought it in 2006, brand new. Proud, still proud to be driving that thing over 200,000 miles.
You don't drive it anymore.
When that car was brand new, dude, you couldn't tell me nothing.
Man, it was whipping in a Mazda thinking he was
the problem is you
on
can tell,
top of the world.
The problem is that's not the case anymore. That Joker's still old. I'm still driving. Everybody around me got drive out tag. I'm proud of it. I'm proud that I got no note, but I'm starting to get envious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Bible says about envy. You're not supposed to, you know, get that out of your heart.
Well,
but it's hard not to when everybody on 240's got drive out tags, y'all. Congrats on your new rides.
You don't even drive the Mazda anymore. You haven't driven the Mazda to work in about 4 years.
That's such a lie.
So don't act like—
You come on here and you lie.
Don't act like you are so proud of this
car.
My
wife and I switched because I had a longer drive to drop Chris off at
school.
And you
can't depend on the
Mazda. No. We switched because I had the longer drive, John. That's why. We just haven't switched back since we've hit summer.
Well, congratulations.
Congrats, V. What's weird how we hit that.
For Linda, she can go buy
a new car.
Mazda 6, an 06 Mazda. Maybe yours. Can she buy yours for $8,000?
Dude, my car, Mazda 6 now, 2006.
Yeah.
That joke ain't worth $1,000.
Well, that's why you should
over 200,000 miles. I can't get I'd be lucky to get $500 down on a new car with that Mazda at this point.
Condition's and good though, Jason.
So that's what I'm. Am I gonna stop that thing getting us A to B
day
long?
Yeah, but even though you've stopped smoking, the smell has never left us.
I think
rolled down a long time.
My Ford Taurus is worth $10,000.
Wow.
I think that's what that's worth. That car right there.
What is the year?
It's 2010. With
2010 still worth $10,000?
Listen.
Used cars, man.
65,000 miles, though.
How have you kept the mileage so low?
I bought it for my grandmother.
Do you drive?
I bought it for my grandmother.
Do you drive to work and to home?
That's it. It's my work car. In fact, I even considered using Uber because I drive so little, and I'd love to do it. My wife convinced me I can't get rid of my car.
Ubers are $100.
I'm going to say
you
need to go and trade that thing in.
I would agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
I would agree with that.
Why not? You're never going to get a higher value for that car.
Yes, and they will give you
$10,000 if that's
true. It's got 65,000 miles. You see the condition. It's good condition.
They will give you, somebody will give you, I don't know.
Maybe more than that.
You wouldn't, the dealership wouldn't
give you $14,500. I bought it from my grandmother at Blue Book, and again, I bought it 3 years ago when it had 13,000 on it. So I've put 20 on it a year or so, right? 15 to 20. Over the last few, 3-4 years, I sold my car. This is actually like Tradio here. We're getting some knowledge. You guys can drop some knowledge on me. Should I trade that car?
I think the right thing is
to trade it. Literally, and it's paid for, though, guys.
No, I mean,
it's paid for. I don't have like free cash out here to get the next one.
That is the issue.
Yeah, but your note going to be so low if you're going to get 10,000.
I don't have a damn note, though.
Your note on the next one going to be so low, you'll be fine.
Notes are annoying.
I hate having a damn note. I don't want a note.
It's like selling you, like right now, for example, if you sell your home.
Yeah, you got to buy one.
You got to turn around and buy one, unless you're willing to live in an apartment.
I talked about this with Karen on FM or on River today. I said, well, your kids are in college now. Are you going to downsize? She said, I'd love to, but what am I going to buy once I sell my house?
Very true.
You can't.
I mean, you could, look, if you really need money, like, and if you're just trying to get some cash, like, you could do a cash out refinance. I'm not going to
tell you. Not doing that.
You know, you could do that, but yeah, I mean, that is the problem. You could move in an apartment. That would be
people are having this dilemma all over town, though. This is a relevant conversation. Like,
yeah.
100%.
There is in the dilemma. Yeah.
Anyway,
congrats to V.
She lost on Jeopardy, but she won.
I got another one. We got
next story.
We know about Jokic already. If you'd bet before the season, he was at plus 2,500 to win the MVP. So you'd have made a lot of money. Frankly, what, $100 would have won you 2,500? How about that?
Wow. Yeah.
If you'd bet before the season on Nikola Jokic to win MVP. The particulars, averaged 26.5 points, 10.8 rebounds per game, got 91 of the 101 first-place votes. That was part of the story. We've already talked about it. When he was drafted back in 2014, it was a Taco Bell commercial on. They weren't even backed from commercial. That's how highly he was thought of back then. Lowest draft pick, I think it was 41st. Yes, 41st in the second round in 2014 to win MVP. Know that Moses Malone went undrafted, won 3 MVPs, but again, it was not drafted initially by the NBA. Of course, he went to the ABA. Moses Malone, you remember out of high school, John? You remember those times?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic deserved this. Joel Embiid was second. Steph Curry was third. Chris Paul made it fifth. Here's the funny part. Derrick Rose got a first place vote. How'd that happen?
It wasn't from a media member.
It was from the fans. But again, I will tell you how that happened. It's the fan vote counts as one vote, from my understanding, reading this thing, NBA put out pretty much put out a statement on this yesterday because everybody's wanting the same damn thing. What media member that's got the ability to vote in this thing is voting for Derrick Rose, who was a sixth man candidate, yep, but should not have been an MVP candidate. MVP of that team was Julius Randle. There ain't no question about it. So everybody jumped on it. Okay, what media member did this? Remember, there was a media member who didn't vote Ja Morant Rookie of the Year. Y'all know what we gave him? Gave him hell. So everybody's looking for that person on this one. Well, it's the fan vote. And in this case, what are the fans thinking, John? What is this all? Is this all of New York doing a stand thing? And you know what? We're going to vote him on in. And who knows where? Did they advertise it or whatever else? Was this a joke? Mm-hmm. Because, again, what fans other than those in New York are going to vote for Derrick Rose with a first place vote? I don't get that at all.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. Although I will say, I'm always on Team D Rose. You know what I'm saying? He's not an MVP, of course, but I am always happy to see him.
The fan vote collectively,
well,
according to the NBA, the fan vote collectively counts for one of the 101 votes. So.
Yeah, so it's stupid. It's a stupid gimmick.
And it says as much, especially when you're voting for, I love him to death, but the fan vote is being used to give Derrick Rose a first place vote anyway. It goes without saying, Derrick Rose was not an MVP candidate. Nikola Jokic was and won. Probably the worst-kept secret in all of basketball all year long. He deserved it. There's no question about it.
Nikola Jokic, little-known fact about him.
He was fat growing up. We all know.
No, he used to drink a gallon of Coke a day.
Oh, yeah. He had to get it out of his system. Pretty much me. I've heard this story and related it to myself.
Yeah.
What I could be if I got off the Coke.
No, we'll say this. People are tweeting in. They've been listening. And they are very shocked, Brad. This is what Jay Wilson said. Brad spent $14,500 for a 2010 Ford Taurus. My Lord.
No, but listen.
You paid your grandmother for that.
I paid my grandmother.
She got over on you.
No, she didn't. I didn't buy it yesterday.
She loved
What's
to
his
see
name?
You
What's
coming.
His man's name? What's his man's name?
Jay Wilson.
Okay, Jay, this car was in mint. It had never left the garage. It was a new car with 12,500 miles on it. I bought a new car for $14,000.
That is the thing about grandmas, man.
They didn't drive the car. It literally was in mint condition sitting in a garage. I bought it like a new car. So I've had that car for now maybe 4 or 5 years.
I'm being told that many of the drive-out tags I'm seeing are counterfeit. Big problem in Memphis right now.
Well, half of the people here don't have insurance. That's another problem we can talk about later.
But my question would be, did your grandma, what was your interest rate with your grandma?
It was straight cash, homie. Okay. I wrote a check for it.
Okay, but it would have been 33%.
Well, I paid Blue Book for it because grandma had a mint car that I paid cash for, and I didn't want a note.
You hear that, Jay Wilson?
I also sold my other car. Ooh. Hey, here's the other thing. I sold my car prior to that, which was a Mercury, sold it for cash, and took that cash and put that down on the grandma car.
Grandma got over on you.
She didn't screw me. Grandma, she's got a little dementia now. God bless her. She's 93, got through COVID. She's sitting in the nursing home. Nursing home is expensive. She needs the money.
She buried that cash underneath the doghouse like Frank Lucas.
Damn, Grandma, you think she screwed me?
She got more money from you for that Taurus than Verlinda Henning took home for her.
Bro, this is depressing. I'm just kind of sad, man.
I think it's just the
fact
that
I got a paid for car for 5 years, people.
That's the thing. I would say that is true.
Go look at that car in the front. It's the nicest car. It's better. Baron's got a damn Saab. Mine's nicer.
Wow.
Look at those cars next to each other.
I'm glad we talked about this. I'm being schooled, too, that you need to look close at these cars. They're just fake drive out.
Go out in the front and look at that car. It's a jewel. And I've had it for five. It's only got 65,000 miles on it.
Grandma really sold you. She did a good job.
$14,000. Straight cash.
But yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, Jay. Man, I got screwed. That makes me sad, though. I hope that's not better. I feel good about it.
You better be careful what parts of town you ride around in. That thing works so much.
Man, I don't have anything. I got nothing. Listen, I ain't got nothing. 10, I'm like Calkins. Bro. You come to my house, it's empty.
Talking about all that cash you got, you give me grandma. You be
no,
careful.
Look, no, that was the bank. That was the
I'm
bank.
Just letting you know.
No, I don't have that money. This money's empty. All I got is a vaccine card in my wallet.
That's all he's got, man.
I'll give it to you.
Y'all leave Brad alone, man. Yeah.
I ain't flashing cash. I had to pay that cash.
Grandma's like, I want to tell you about this luxury car I've got.
Listen,
here.
Nursing homes are expensive, bro. You try paying for a damn nursing home once.
Hey, you know what? Grandma's like, she said, Grandpa, we're going to the casino. We got the money.
she had to pay for that nursing home, bro. She's 93, got through Corona.
God bless her.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. No doubt about that.
Damn, bro. You're right. I probably did get hosed.
But it's
but
okay.
It went to a good place.
At least it's your family. Hey, I'll say this. You know, my first car was a Nissan Altima. It was a 97 Altima.
Got it from a family member?
Got it from a family member for $2,500. It was just sitting on their freaking yard. It wasn't being used. They didn't do anything.
Good deal.
I mean, they should have just given it to me, though. You know, it was just sitting in their yard.
Yeah.
You know, what's the – so I feel like why did my mom have to pay $2,500 for a car that you literally were not even using? We're supposed to be family.
Hey, real is real. Like, people are selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace right now that they ain't using.
My first car was a Pontiac Fiero.
Oh, solid.
Man, it was black and in mint condition. I bought from my uncle.
Yeah.
And he sold it to me for less than $2,000. That thing was in mint condition. He lives in that small town, Fulton, just outside of Columbia, Missouri.
Beautiful.
So much like you, Brad, there were no miles on the thing.
Nothing.
I drive that thing back down to Memphis. It's my first car. Proceed to wreck that joker.
No!
Yeah.
Dude, that's a great car.
My uncle was sicker than I was.
I would have been,
like,
too.
Like, I just sold you a mint condition. Now, it wasn't a GT. GT Fieros were some bad boys.
Badass.
No, but this thing was like a SE or whatever else.
Yeah.
It was in mint condition. And you know where I wrecked that? What's that street over there behind the library over by the University of Memphis? You know what I'm talking about? It's got the, behind Elmer Rowan, that street. Mm-hmm. That circle, Zach Curlin.
Yeah.
I'm on Zach Curlin. Somebody's got a right turn signal on to turn into the back of the library over there, and they end up turning left. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I swerved to go around because I was going around like they were going to turn right. Man, put that thing in right on one of them short poles that mark off those parking lots over. Killed it. Killed the Fiero.
Bro, how could you do that?
I know, and got it for less than $2,000 from a family member. Car was perfect for a first-timer like me.
You know what car I always thought...
Much better
thought,
than the Geo Storm I had years later.
The car I always thought was so awesome that I always wanted to have, and now that I'm an adult, I can't believe I ever thought it was a cool car. The Pontiac Thunderbird.
Oh yeah,
you remember the Thunderbird?
Yeah.
It had like the headlights in the hood. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, flip up. Like the flip ups.
I'm confused. Didn't Ford do a my mom had a Ford?
I think Ford did one as well.
Yeah, I think Ford did one,
but I'm talking about the Pontiac.
Had a Thunderbird?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it was horrendous. It was an ugly ass car. I also always wanted a Mitsubishi Eclipse. All right. These are ridiculous random cars that I would never drive today.
Mine was a Z. Remember the Nissan?
Yes.
Oh yeah. The 350Z?
Yes.
So oh no, that
you
holds
what,
up.
Talking about dream car type.
If
stuff,
I were to sell that car to somebody and get under it for $10,000, you know what I would love to do? And I've been fantasizing about this. You guys hit on something I'm like you. Paid for a car, I fantasize about having something
of course.
Nice. I go back to the 80s, though. You remember that IROC Z thing with the T-top with the Chevy Camaro?
Yeah, there were some bad boys.
I would love
John to. John wouldn't know how bad they were, but if he saw one, a clean one, back then, that was as nice as you can get.
I've thought about wanting to get one now.
And fix it up?
Like have a kick-ass one to pull up here in. Man, I'd love that. T-tops, IROC Z, man.
Those
they were
the,
clean in the 80s, man.
Also,
this is off Nikola Jokic, guys.
You know,
I don't know how we got here, but it's fun.
You know, he can buy all these now. If you'd have put $1,000 on him before the season.
I blame my grandmother.
Just want to let y'all know how on topic we were.
Blame my grandmother.
Remind y'all.
Yeah.
No, but I think, look, these are real conversations that are being had all across American living rooms right now.
Dude, y'all don't have to keep saying that.
Yeah. I mean.
We know how much people relate to us in our real conversations.
I always wanted a Camaro, you know. I thought Camaros were like sexy-ass cars. Do you agree with that? Do you think they're
Camaros were always, yeah. Okay. I would have taken any Camaro.
Also Corvette, like classic Corvette.
Yeah, that's something maybe later in life I'm, you know, hopeful I can get to that level.
I'm not sure you will.
I see all these, you know, middle-aged to older men that get in their new Corvettes. And
do they still make Corvettes?
What a life. Do they still make Corvettes? What are you talking about?
Bro.
Have you seen them
lately? They look like freaking Lamborghinis, man.
They're clean.
Oh, man.
Nice. Yeah.
Dude, I saw one had last Friday, I'm coming home on Germantown Parkway, and this dude had put his in the bushes.
There's no way.
Flipped all the way around. One of these new Corvettes. Like, brother, I know you sick. That insurance going through the roof. On your tail.
Yeah, they're clean.
No, they're clean. And what it does when you're in one of those, you want to drive them fast because they look like race cars.
Man, the new body on these Corvettes is ridiculous.
Dude,
you're exactly right.
They look like exotic cars, like the old Lamborghinis you'd have on your posters in your bedroom growing up.
Man,
Ferraris, Lamborghinis.
That's always the dream, man. To just have a vet.
You said I'm not getting there. I heard you. You thought you were slick. You said I'm not getting that.
Get there, man.
Yeah, that's some real hater ish right there.
Yes,
you're doing
sir.
Right now.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm gonna let you live with that.
Use it as motivation, man. That's what I'm trying to do.
Everybody in Memphis relate to a car conversation. Got folks blowing up my phone.
Yeah, somebody said Brad's car about to have some counterfeit driveouts. Just be careful, Brad. Make sure you
got
your keys.
I got nothing.
Make sure
it's
you got
empty.
Your keys in your pocket.
Empty.
They said
empty.
It's worth $10,000. Oh, we coming to get that.
Yeah.
It's empty.
Hell yeah, that four tourists.
Can't get the rims off of it. I tried.
All right, we will come back. I have some news for you on LeBron James. I have some news for you on a decision that LeBron James has made about his future in Los Angeles. And it is quite an interesting decision. Do that when we come back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.